President Putin basically said today that Russia is immune from U.S. sanctions. He said that it would not impact the Russian economy in any serious way. Is he
good.
Wrong?
I'm glad he feels that way. That's good. I'll let you know about it in 6 months from now. Okay, let's see how it all works out.
So he mocked him and has been joking. Yeah, let's see where it is 6 months from now. That's a good idea. So this is October 24th, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Okay, let's just put a little pin in our calendar here and come back on April 24th, 2026. And let's see. And I'm not just saying that. I'm actually going to do this. This video you're watching right now, we're going to play this on the 24th of April, and we'll see, good or bad. Who knows? Maybe I'll be shocked and surprised, and it turns out that Trump will have been right, and then we'll give him big congratulations. I rather doubt it. We'll see. Put your pen on that one, too. One other thing that's not going to help Trump get to the 24th of April, and that is the fact that as he's talking all this big smack and all this pressure he's going to put on Russia, then he actually takes the pressure piece off the board, at least rhetorically, and that is the Tomahawk missiles. Now, there's been a lot of talk about whether he's going to put the Tomahawks in there. You may recall he boisterously said from Air Force One a week or so ago that, yeah, I might do that. If Putin doesn't do what I want, if he doesn't come to the table the way I want, yeah, I may give them to Ukraine. And then, of course, he turned around and said, once Zelensky got there, he said, yeah, we probably need those for ourselves. Well, he went a little bit further in this press conference here.
Well, the problem with the Tomahawk that a lot of people don't know, it'll take a minimum of 6 months, usually a year, to learn how to use them. They're highly complex. So the only way a Tomahawk is going to be shot is if we shot it, and we're not going to do that. And we know how to use it, and we're not going to be teaching other people. It's too far out into the future.
So he's just flat out saying there won't be any Tomahawks, there won't be any new long-range weapons. So the things that have an impact on the battlefield, he's just saying, yeah, that's not on there. That's not in the cards. We're not going to do that. The truth is that he was never going to do that. And as I was saying, even when people were talking about it and claiming that we should do it, I said it won't make any difference because you don't understand how wars are fought. And you can look and see the thousands, tens of thousands of long-range drones and high-velocity missiles that the Russians have been firing, the glide bombs. I mean, thousands of them. And even though that causes a lot of damage to the Ukraine side, which is a much smaller country and a much smaller target set, and you can't spread things out that much, it is damaging, but it has not been crippling. It has not been debilitating. They can still survive the war. So the idea that even a handful of Tomahawks was ever going to change the tactical dynamic anywhere was always absurd. But now Trump's even rhetorically taken that off the table as well. And so you have him saying, we're going to try something that has failed for 22 straight rounds. We're going to try it again, see if maybe it works this time, but we're not going to do anything different on the ground. Then where is your confidence that you're going to mock Russia and say, yeah, we'll see where we are 6 months from now? So not sure how that's going to work out, but that's what we're going to be looking at here. So that didn't help his cause. Well, as I said at the outset here, this is an issue where you used to have the British Empire. The sun never sets on the British Empire, 17th, 18th centuries. They ruled the global commons. And now it's not so much. But if you listen to some British folks, you still think some of them may think that's a current situation here. That's one thing if it's just kind of an eye-rolling situation where this is kind of ridiculous, but this is who you got here. But it's another thing if you believe what you're saying, because I promise you, the other side is more than well aware of the power dynamics that exist in the globe today, but it doesn't seem like people in London are. This is from on the 20th of October, so a few days earlier, where you had the British Defense Secretary, John Healey, talk about how tough the UK is and how scared Russia is of them.
A sight that I will never forget. That small group of Ukrainian service personnel joining our VE Day 80 parade. And as they marched with enormous pride down the Mall, they did so to deafening cheers and applause from both sides and from the platform that greeted them in front of Buckingham Palace. And that's why President Zelensky calls the UK his closest ally. It's also why Putin ranks Britain as his number one enemy. And as his aggression grows, both in Ukraine and beyond, Britain and our NATO allies will stand more unified and stronger. And we will act. Within days of Russia's drone incursions into Poland, British Typhoon jets began flying air defense missions over to Poland and that eastern flank. Within weeks, we will now start to produce jointly with Ukraine in the UK, Ukrainian Octopus interceptor drones. Within months, we will establish the new UK Drone Centre. And within this Parliament, we will double investment into drones and other autonomous systems to more than £4 billion.
Wow. Listen, you want to say that Russia, the biggest continental power in the world and the largest nuclear stockpile in the world, ranks Britain as their number one threat? That's what you believe? So you think that you're scared of Russia? Let's see. So you have some small number of nuclear weapons. If you're lucky and you work really hard, you might be able to scrape together one combat division, maybe. And they have no combat experience at all, so it's all theoretical. So they would be starting where Russia did in February of 2022. And that goes for all of us, by the way, our army included. We would all be starting from that point. Whereas the Russians aren't. If, should God forbid, we end up fighting them in a conventional or nuclear war, let's don't even go down that path here. But you think that you're scaring Russia? See, that's what worries me. He may actually believe that. He may think that, yes, that we're scaring them. And then he says we're going to put action to it. And what is the first action he says? That when there was alleged a handful of Russian non-armed drones that strayed into Polish territory or were diverted there from electronic warfare, we still don't know. Could have been either one. It's possible. Both are plausible. But they did fly in there. At least even that, I say, is alleged. We saw some wreckage on the ground, and we were told that's what happened. But his comment here is there that immediately British fighter jets took to the skies. Well, that's scary. Against unarmed drones? Yeah, and did you shoot any down? Because one claim has that somebody, whether Britain or someone else, fired at one of these drones, missed, and hit a building, hit a house, and that's what blew up one of the roofs that we saw, as opposed to an unarmed drone, which, according to Poland, is the only thing that entered. There was no armed drones that entered the country, so they've never explained how they claim a drone actually blew up on the house, etc. But be that as it may, That's your evidence, and then you want to say that we're going to increasing drone capabilities, we're going to open a joint training or a joint development center, et cetera, i.e. those are way off into the future. I think it's getting increasingly tenuous and difficult for Ukraine to even hang on another year, much less put some S at the end of that and just roll it off into the future, which is what it would take from here. And then the numbers are minuscule in comparison to how many the actual need are here. And that's what you want to brag about to people. Now, that works at home. And if your only concern is we want to get more money for the defense industrial base, I guess that'll fly. It probably will, in fact, because most of the people, as we've heard from our good friend Ian Puttick and other folks who live in the UK, they confirm to us that this is almost all they hear on their media. So they believe it. And so when they see all this money being diverted away, they apparently, many of them believe that it is for a good cause and that they are that great. And it kind of feeds into your ego. Doesn't wash outside of the borders of the UK. Doesn't wash outside of the borders of the Western world. Maybe they self-congratulate each other on the inside, but it doesn't work outside, folks. Nobody's fooled by that. So when you're looking at now this combination of the 19th package of European sanctions, Trump's second package that he did from his first term, and now here, total of 22, adding Biden in and all that. It's just an embarrassment because it's all failed because of all of these things. And even in the years before that, going back to 2014, especially where another whole batch first came on Russia, we have taught them how to get by our sanctions. And now then one of the other things we're talking about here, and not just the banking sector, but also the shadow fleet. You keep going after the banking sector, you're going to accelerate their drive to get into BRICS and to get out from under any dollar denomination whatsoever, weakening the dollar, weakening our future ability to manipulate markets for things of our benefit. It's literally like cutting our own wrist. And if you keep going down that path too, then you're going to, now then more people are going to, from other parts of the world, are going to want to abandon the dollar and go to something they see as more stable. So we keep going down a path here that has never succeeded. So many rounds of this stuff, and we keep wanting to try it again. What does that tell you about our intellectual capacity? What does it tell you about wisdom? You keep doing the same thing that doesn't have the outcome that you're claiming it does, but it does enrich your friends. It does make the military-industrial complex just continue to just flush with cash at the top. It doesn't provide for the actual amount of ammunition and weapons you would need to fight a conventional war. It only does the super high dollar, higher upper end issues, especially the missiles, air defense missiles, air offense missiles, air to air missiles, those kinds of categories of things. Super expensive, really lucrative to the production, marginally helpful in the on an actual ground war. So we're not going after those things. So we're defeating ourselves. We're setting ourselves up by having these things that are years in advance on the categories that are good to have, but not essential, at the expense of the things that are essential. Now, I'm not advocating that we start stocking up on stuff so that we can fight a war in the future. We can choose one. That's a bad deal, because then it could all too easily go nuclear. Much better to go into diplomacy and find win-win ways to survive and to live with each other so that nobody has to fight anyone and we can all live in peace. That would be ideal. We seem to be incapable of doing that. So what we're trying to do is the worst of all worlds. No diplomacy, but also not allowing us to set up to where we could actually sustain, fight, and win a war of attrition, which the Russians have done. And you can be sure that the Chinese have been paying a great deal of attention and have made substantial changes to their systems. And we already know that their industrial capacity is off the charts for the entire West writ large, probably more than the West and Russia combined. I think that there's some argument there. Who's behind the eight ball is the UK and the United States. We keep talking about how we're the leaders of everything. And folks, the only thing we may be doing is leading to the bottom and setting the stage for our own defeat. That's the harsh truth. That's my big concern here. Evidence is lining that way up. We need to do everything we can to get this ship turned around quickly before we run it aground and we're not able to recover it. That's your show for today, folks. Appreciate it. Hope you have a good Saturday. We look forward to seeing you back. I'll be back in my regular digs. Unless something breaks in between now and then, I'll be back on Monday. I look forward to seeing you then. Thanks a lot.